It is the unnamed MMA podcast here on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. He is Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at 1on1063. Get all of his picks at fatjacksports.com. You can hear him on VSiN as well. He's the expert. He's had a pretty decent couple of weeks here in a row here as far as fights go. We're previewing UFC Fight Night, Volkov versus Aspinall. The heavyweights, the big guys, the six-footers, the over six-footers, the slugfest. That's what we're in for this weekend is UFC Fight Night, Volkov versus Aspinall. Jordan, how's it going?
Well, I mean, two things. First, yeah, I mean, we're in for a treat, even though it's, fights during the day. It's the first time that they're overseas in London in front of a live crowd. And the European fan base is awesome, especially when they go to Europe, especially when they go to London. They haven't been in the O2 arena since Jorge Masvidal knocked out Darren Till in a dramatic upset. So it's been 3 years since they've been there. But first, I just want to address the elephant in the room. You did not enter my annual March Madness bracket. I thought we were friends.
We're doing this? We're doing this? Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed
okay.
in you. I thought I didn't my five or six go-tos at the station. You're one of them. I thought we were friends, but, you know,
We're
both the podcast together. And
this is why we're friends. We're friends because I don't half-ass things, right? We're friends because I don't do, like, the only reason I have a bracket, and it's on the fridge here if you come to 199 State Street,
yeah,
the 7th floor.
I saw your social post about
it. It's on the fridge. I don't do a bracket. Chris Bleck doesn't do a bracket. You can hear Bleck and Abdallah weeknights at 6 o'clock. We don't do a bracket. We have Tyler Aki, who hosts the basketball show, Basketball U, with Brian Hanley. We have him fill out the bracket for us. I don't want to, like, half-ass things and say, hey, oh, you know, this is what we're doing. I'm going to pick some teams that I know nothing about just to light $25 or $30 on fire, whatever it is, 50, whatever it is, however many shekels it is. I don't want to light them on fire. I'll gamble the games throughout the day, but I've never been a bracket guy. I've entered the bracket pool like 3 or 4 times. I've won once. It was awesome. It was great. I was an intern. I needed the money. It was like a month and a half worth of rent at the time, too. So I was like, yeah, I can pay rent this month. And so, like, I had confidence picks for the tournament. Like, I just don't, like, a bowl pool for the college football, I'm in, you know? But, like, stuff I don't really follow until tournament time. Like, I don't want to give you bad picks.
Man, I wasn't expecting like a whole novel and like reason. Like, you didn't do it. It's fine. You didn't want to do it.
But there's reason behind it. There's reason why I didn't do it. Like, there's a good reason why I decided I don't participate. And everyone always comes to me like, Abdallah, you need to run the bracket pool. You need to run the bracket pool. And I'm like, I don't participate, so I'm not going to run it. Leave me alone. Let me light my money on fire during the game, the individual games.
Yeah, and there was a lot of that, at least for me, on Thursday early on, lighting money on fire.
That's okay. Hopefully everybody had Kentucky. Like, yeah, hopefully everybody had Kentucky, and that's fine. But, yeah, so while these games are going on Saturday, make sure you've got another TV on UFC Fight Night or Fight Day for us. Fight Night over in England, but Fight Day for us, as a lot of these hometown guys are going to be there. We'll get into those guys in a little bit. You got Patty the Batty, who's going to be fighting, we need to talk about him. I need to get a full in-depth breakdown of his haircut and everything. But we'll start with the main event. We'll start with the big guys, Volkov versus Aspinall. If you look at the odds right now, Aspinall is a -116 favorite. Volkov right around even money right there. These are the big guys. Aspinall's 11-2 professionally. He's got eight wins by knockout, 3 wins by submission. He's a decent boxer. He's good at takedowns. To me, this screams Aspinall, especially with those short odds right there. We haven't had a conversation where you and I are on this podcast where a main event has such close odds here.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing is that the odds have flipped. Aspinall opened up like a +150 underdog, and people grabbed that right away, and I definitely agree with that assessment. I mean, Tom Aspinall has been a prospect that the UFC has been looking at for a very long time. He came up in the Bama organization. That's a very strong organization in Europe, in England. And look, you know, he's been in there with some of the guys. You know, he's been in there with Andrei Arlovsky and finished him via submission. Arlovsky's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer and a former, two-time UFC champion. Then He just bested, dusted Sergey Spivak. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago when he got by Greg Hardy. So, but now we get to figure out, all right, is Tom Aspinall for real? Is the hype for real? Because Drago, Alexander Volkov, you know, has been in the top five, top six of the heavyweight division for quite some time. You know, loses to the guys that are in the top four or five, but is kind of in that gatekeeper role of that top five. And look, Aspinall is going to be very motivated in this fight, obviously fighting in front of a live crowd, fighting in front of his countrymen. He's got great boxing. He's got good stand-up overall, very good submission skills. He's just going to have to navigate the waters against a guy in Volkov that presents a lot of issues because he's, you know, 6'7", long reach, also a very good boxer. Takedown defense is questionable. You know, really good wrestlers, get him down. I like Aspinall in this fight. I'm going to play Aspinall in this fight. I think he's worth the hype. I'm going to try it. I did not get him early because my attention was on the NCAA, but I'll
still
play
him. It's fine.
But I'll play him at $1.20. I'll play him at $1.25. I'll probably also look at the under just because he's been a finisher. I mean, 11 wins, and all of them are inside the distance. Volkov is a guy that can drag it out a little bit and is a tough out to, you know, to get the best of. He doesn't get finished a lot. He's actually notable for that brilliant last-minute finish at the hands of Derek Lewis in a fight that he was winning for like 14 minutes and 30 seconds, and then Lewis landed a haymaker and knocked him out, I think, in Houston a couple of years ago. So, but anyway, that's my play. Aspinall, I think he lives up to the hype. I think there's value at $1.20, even if it jumps up to like $1.30. I think he's just better everywhere. And at some point, we'll be able to, you know, get Volkov out of there. So I think a finish also happens in the main event.
Now, this is a 5-round fight. Aspinall's never gone into the third round in his entire professional career. Are you concerned about stamina or anything like that? Because if we're looking at method of victory here for these guys, Aspinall by knockout is +220. Aspinall by points is +420. And then if you want to go on the other side, Volkov by knockout, Drago by knockout is 3-1 at +300. So if you're looking for a method of victory here, you thinking Aspinall by knockout? Or is this someone that maybe he goes down and he tries to, you know, go to the submission? Because Volkov is not a very good wrestler. So if you want to, you know, take advantage of that and take advantage of the height differential, maybe you go and you work it that way.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And that's why I'm not so concerned about Aspinall's cardio heading into this fight, that, you know, he might have to go into the deeper rounds, into those championship rounds, because Volkov is not going to present those grappling situations or takedown defense where Aspinall's going to have to work to keep the fight on the feet. He's got the advantage on the ground, and so he'll be comfortable there if it goes there. And I think if you're talking about a 5-round stand-up fight, Aspinall will just be better because I think he is the better boxer. So you're right, though, but Aspinall will have the advantage on the ground. I think you probably want to showcase a little bit of his wrestling and maybe look to get a submission and get Volkov out of there that way. And that's why I think, again, there's value on him to win the fight. So I don't have those pressing concerns. I don't have those pressing concerns like we had last week where we find out Magomed Ankalaev wanted to test himself and go 5 rounds. That's kind of bullshit that he did that. Killed my inside the distance, killed my win by KO over Thiago Santos. But whatever. I mean, dude, I don't know what the guy's mindset's going to be and what he wants to do, but I don't think Aspinall's like that. I think he's going to try and get a win, light up the crowd. That's going to be amped up because, you know, they've got, you know, fellow countrymen fighting on the co-main event and Paddy the Baddie you mentioned. So, again, I'll look for Aspinall, get the win, and likely get the finish.
And, like, as far as, you know, we've been talking a lot about a lot of welterweight fights in the last couple weeks. This finally is two big dudes. America loves a heavyweight, whether it's in boxing, whether it's in UFC, no matter what it is. America loves to watch two big dudes try to knock each other out. And that was what I feel like we're going to get, unless, you know, Volkov tries to go and tries to do some wrestling himself because he doesn't think, you know, Aspinall has the stamina to go to 5 rounds. So maybe he tries to extend the fight into that fourth, into that fifth round and try to tire Aspinall out. But I'm hoping we see stand-up boxing. I'm hoping we see some form of knockout. I'm hoping we see some kind of fireworks as we're all going to be, you know, watching two TVs at the same time, maybe three TVs at the same time, watching, you know, some knockouts in the NCAA tournament, watching and hopefully not some knockouts here in this matchup. So you're going Aspinall and the under in this fight. And if you want to sprinkle a little bit of Aspinall in the knockout, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think, again, Aspinall's another special guy. He's an up-and-comer. He's a guy that could be fighting for the championship in a year or so. The UFC is extremely high on him. This is a showcase fight for him. And don't forget, too, you know, Volkov is, I don't know how much, but he's definitely dealing with the stuff overseas in Russia. He was asked, his camp was asked, to get out of Russia early, you know, a couple of weeks back. He refused. He decided to stay in his home country. He's there. He looked good on the scale. He was actually the lightest he's ever been in about two or three fights, which is interesting. But, again, I think it's Aspinall and Aspinall all day.
All right, let's move on to a featherweight bout between Arnold Allen and Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker has fought a lot of big names recently. Arnold Allen's looking for his ninth straight UFC victory. The issue here that people have been talking about for a couple weeks now is Dan Hooker has had to cut weight to try to get to this fight, to try to get to featherweight. Do you think that affects any of this? If you look at the odds right now, Arnold Allen is about a minus 120 favorite, so another short odds here, minus 120 for him. Dan Hooker right above even money at plus 102, so just slightly above even money. But if you're looking at this one, how much of the cutting of the weight will affect this fight for Dan Hooker?
I think it's a big factor. I mean, Dan Hooker went on record a few years ago and said he'll never cut back down to 145, that it's just too miserable of a cut. He didn't like doing it. And then he, you know, he went up to lightweight and had some very good success there. And granted, he made weight and he was fine at the scale on Friday morning. But, like, the dude had a mindset a couple years ago that he didn't want to go back to 145. And now he's going there. And he's a little bit older and he's taking on a huge prospect in Arnold Allen. And, you know, certainly the body of work is better for Dan Hooker. I mean, he's been in there with killers, Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler and Islam Makhachev. But, you know, Hooker's also, 1-3 in his last four fights. He just got out of two back-to-back fight of the, like, year caliber back-and-forth Rocky Balboa, Apollo Creed fights with Paul Felder and Dustin Poirier. Then he gets stopped by Michael Chandler in about 30 seconds. I don't like this fight for Dan Hooker because Arnold Allen could, I think, beat him anywhere. He's better on the feet. And then I think Allen's going to look to take this fight to the ground. And Hooker's really struggled when fights get taken to the ground. We saw that in his last fight against Islam Makhachev. And I know what you're saying. Well, anybody's going to struggle against Islam Makhachev.
Yeah, I would say he attended the fight with Islam
Correct,
Makhachev.
Exactly.
I don't know if it was like that thing ended in the first round. It was by submission. Makhachev's a different animal. You kind of just attend fights with him.
Right, exactly. But, you know, look, Arnold Allen is, you know, he hasn't been that consistent of a fighter. You know, it's been a while since we last saw him, you know, with his victory over Sadiq Youssef back in April of last year. But, again, this is another opportunity, another kind of local guy, you know, to showcase his skills in front of his home countrymen. And, you know, Dan Hooker, it takes a lot for him to get there. You know, he's traveling over from Australia and, you know, New Zealand. I just think Arnold Allen's better everywhere. I wouldn't be confident in finish. I think Arnold Allen is kind of a point fighter and a decision guy. But I think at $1.10, absolutely, he's the play.
So 7 of Allen's last 8 fights were by decision. Hooker's last 3 wins have come by decision. So if we're looking by points, if you want to get some value, Allen by points is plus 155. Hooker by points is 3-1. So if you're telling me you like Allen to win the fight and then maybe put Allen by points there at plus 155, right?
Yeah, I think you're going to. But that's the type of play, like, you know how it goes, like how the night's going.
Yeah.
Because, like, I could see Arnold Allen getting a finish. I mean, he's got submissions under his game. He just hasn't showcased it, you know, in the UFC. But, I think he'll be able to take this fight to the ground when he wants. And Hooker's been submitted, you know, so we've seen that before. And so I just think it's safer because it was funny against his last fight, Sadiq Youssef, who we just saw fight last week against Bruce Leroy. Like, Sadiq Youssef's a better fighter on the feet versus Arnold Allen, at least heading into that fight. And Arnold Allen won the fight on the feet. So I think Arnold Allen's just going to let the fight come to him and under, you know, where's the fight going and then just win it there. So that's why I just think strict money line. Don't get cute with props unless you're having a really good day at the NCAA tournament. Then maybe fine. Sprinkle on a finish or submission win for Arnold Allen.
I was going to say, Allen by submission is 10-1. I mean, how can
okay.
you not? How
yeah,
can
I mean,
you not
okay,
put a little
there you
on
go.
That?
I mean, yeah, I threw out, I mean, I think I threw out one of those submission props last week with Bruno Silva, 16-1 submission prop. So, like, okay, you can do it. But I think, again, you got to wait till you find out how the day's going so far.
All right, so we'll go to Allen just to straight up win that fight money line. That works there. All right, this one I'm looking forward to. Patty the Batty, Patty Pimblett versus Vargas versus Kazula Vargas. So when you see these guys fight, Patty the Batty is the Instagram guy. He's the Twitter guy. He's the guy that's talking all the smack. He's in with Barstool. I mean, this guy is all over the place, and he's a local guy. He's from Liverpool. That place is going to pop when he comes out. They love him. So, I mean, I like Paddy Pimblett in this fight just because I think he's a better fighter. If you look at the odds for this fight, he is the favorite in this fight. He's minus 590. So he is a huge favorite in this fight over Vargas here. So if you look at that, it's a plus 440 for him to win this fight if you want to go with Vargas. But Paddy the Batty, minus 590. I mean, you're going to have to look at method of victory here. Probably, I would say, if you're looking at that, it's by submission at plus 160 if you're looking at that. But just this guy's persona, they've been talking back and forth. Vargas has said that he doesn't like that he's been talking crap the whole time on Instagram and on Twitter and in the pregame, the pre-fight press conferences and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, he's backing it up because he's a huge favorite in this fight.
Yeah, he is. And have you not talked about his haircut? He's got the Beatles haircut.
Well, he's got that Beatles haircut. I mean, he just looks like, here's the problem. Paddy walks into a bar, right? And everybody's had a few. If you look at Paddy, he's one of those guys where if you just look at him, he's got clothes on, he's got the full sweatshirt on and everything like that. He's just at a bar. You're like, who the hell is this guy? But then you're like, oh crap, I just got beat up by a UFC fighter, right? Yeah. Like, he's one of those guys that's like very unassuming. Like, you don't think that he is. That's why you don't get into bar fights. That's why
Nerdy best friend in like an English romantic comedy.
Yeah, that's right. Why I will never ever get into a bar fight, because you never know. He looks like a dude that's going to get worked by anybody at the bar. But then you're like, oh crap, you're a UFC fighter. You just have an awful haircut. You look like a Beatle. You're from Liverpool and you talk a lot of shit. Like, that's just how he is, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how he is. The UFC has identified him a long time ago as a big-time prospect. This is a showcase fight for him. It's actually kind of funny. And I don't remember who specifically it was, but there was originally a different opponent tapped to take this spot for Vargas, and it changed. This is similar to when Conor McGregor got a showcase fight in Dublin in a main event, and they knew he was going to be a big-time star, and here's an opportunity. Granted, Paddy's not in the main event, but he's the featured fight, and there's high expectations for him. But the thing about it is that, you know, Vargas, he's a veteran. Look, he's 12-4. He's 1-2 in the UFC. He should be 2-1. He got disqualified for an illegal knee in a fight that he's wanting. The dude hits like a Mack truck, and Paddy Pimblett did take some strikes. His defense is questionable when the fight's standing. So while I think it's a showcase fight, I think Paddy's going to win. He's likely going to win inside the distance. I'm just going to play the under at 1.5 because I do believe that Vargas could land a bomb and things could change dramatically in that fight. So I'm not uber confident that Paddy's just going to go out and like completely wipe the floor with it. But I do agree with you. If you need to play a prop, you play the submission, because Paddy definitely is well-versed on the feet and on the ground.
Yeah, and if you're looking at that under 1.5, that's minus 112 right now. So you're getting pretty decent return on that for minus 112 for both the over and the under. So it's kind of split right there as far as Vegas is concerned. You know, they believe this could go either way. And the problem with that, with over under 1.5, like, you could lose that by 2 seconds. You know, and like, that's just so, like, a ref just get involved and he's like, okay, now. It's like, come on, man. What are we like? Yeah. I have the under here. What are you doing? So I think I like submission is plus 160. And you mentioned the under, and don't get like, if you listen to the unnamed MMA podcast, just words of advice. Don't get into bar fights. First of all, they're not worth it. They never end well. Second of
Wait,
all,
have you ever been in a bar fight?
No, I've never been in a bar fight. The last time I was in a fight, I was in high school. Like, that was the last time I was in like a real fight. Like a stand up two dudes fighting. Like, that was the last time. It was like freshman year of high school.
All right, college for me, but yeah, you know, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Was that a bar fight? Was that a bar fight
at
U of I?
A house party.
Oh, a house party. Wasn't it Cans at U of I?
It wasn't at Cams at U of I. I did see a guy wearing a Cam shirt yesterday at the Hardwood Hookie car.
Okay. There you go.
Excited. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go Paddy in the under there at 1.5. Then we move to our next fight here. Don't get into bar fights. That's our word of advice.
Yeah.
Gunnar Nelson versus Takashi Sato should be a good fight here as well as you look at these two guys. But Gunnar Nelson is a huge favorite here at around minus 500. This is another welterweight fight. It's a lot of welterweight fights. You know, you've got the welterweight, a lightweight, a featherweight, and a welterweight fight here coming in. These two guys fighting for the first time in a long time. Gunnar Nelson hasn't fought in almost 2 years in a UFC fight. So you're looking at kind of a little bit of rust for these two guys going into this fight, huh?
Yeah, Nelson's like 2 years. Sato is 1 year. Sato did not look good in his weight cut, despite, you know, being a year. Gunnar Nelson's like an interesting cat. Dude's from Iceland, but he's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and fights a karate style. So he was also like one of those guys that was kind of on the come up along with Conor McGregor, trained with Conor McGregor, and people thought, you know, very big things with him. He also doesn't cut weight. Like, he just, like, fights at 170. He's got a dad bod, really. Like, he just doesn't, like, go through the – or he doesn't believe in weight cutting. So he
nothing
walks around,
that.
Like, yeah, 175 and fights at, like, you know, 170. So he's a whiz on the ground. Sato is a fish out of water on the ground. But there's not a value in Nelson to win. There's not a value in Nelson to win by submission. And I think Sato's a tough customer and a tough out. He's not like, you know, a gimme fight, but certainly I think this fight should stay away because there's so many question marks about either Nelson or Sato and how they're going to come in with all that rust.
And Sato's stepping in for Claudio Silva in this fight. And so, you know, I mean, obviously it's not like he picked up this fight here in a couple minutes, you know, or like a couple days here or like a couple weeks here. They've known about this. But if you get Gunnar by submission, if you have to play it, Gunnar Nelson by submission here is minus 115 if you're looking for an advantage because he has such an advantage on the ground against Sato, who's taking this fight as a replacement fight, right?
Yeah, exactly. Claudio Silva was supposed to be the fight, and that would have been interesting because Silva's like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, a little bit older, but would have been fun to see those two guys grapple on the ground. But again, you know, rust worries me if you're a Nelson backer or like putting Nelson into a parlay. So I think this is the type of fight to be an intriguing fight, but you go in like you refill your beverage and don't worry about betting.
And then we've got Luana Carolina and Molly McCann here. Molly McCann, the favorite at minus 146. Carolina at plus 124 here. This is a big fight for these two women as you're coming in. And also Molly McCann, like I mentioned, you know, this is a women's flyweight fight. You know, this is going to be a fast fight, right? These are two women that can really fly all over the place when they get in the octagon.
Yeah, well, it's Carolina, first of all.
Oh, Carolina,
yeah,
sorry, my fault.
It's all good.
You know what it is? It's this damn tournament. I'm looking at South Carolina's, I'm looking at Coastal Carolina, like, I'm looking at all, and I'm so locked in on the tournament on the Carolinas that I knew it was Carolina, but of course I saw Carolina. I've got my bracket right next to me as well, which is awful because Kentucky's gone, and so I'm focused on that, and I know it's Carolina, and of course, I said it to myself before we started, I'm like, Carolina, 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 and of course we get to it, and I screw it up.
It reminds me of, like, everybody calling Weber State, Weber State.
Yeah.
Like you know, it's fine. There's a couple of examples of fighters that I don't know what it is, but I think like in my, you know, reading of the fights and kind of handicapping whatnot, there's a couple of fighters that I think are like, they think they're going to win just because they're like fighting at home and going to like feed off of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, almost like essentially like take the advantage that you would handicap, you know, a college basketball regular season game, you know, 2 points, 3 points, you know, shed either way if it's a home or a road game. Like, and Molly McCann is one of those examples of fighters. Like, she's a good fighter. She's a hard working fighter. Like, she dirties up fights, looks for takedowns. I don't know if that's going to be enough against Luana Carolina, you know, which is her overall skill set, her striking advantage, being able to keep the fight on the feet. So I guess I would like a little bit worry, maybe, you know, with some hometown judging and some hometown favoritism if this fight goes to the scorecards. But I just don't think Meatball Molly, great nickname, but is that good of a fighter? And so I almost looked at a dog here to pull off the potential upset. Makwan Irmerkani, who's on the prelims, another example. Like, Mike Grundy is like a hometown guy, and he's going to have his father, I think, in his corner, and, which is motivational because first time ever, like, that's happened. Like, but it's another example of, like, I just think that, like, you can't rely on that. You got to go and fight the fights. And I think there's a couple of examples of that. And Modeling in Canada is certainly one of them.
Yeah, so Carolina hasn't attempted a takedown in her last few fights at all. She's got a Muay Thai background, like you mentioned. She's, she wants to be in that kicking range, right? Like, she wants to spread this out a little bit and kind of work the kicks and hopefully catch, you know, Molly McCann in, with her hands down and get that kick in and try to work that and get the knockout, right? So if you're looking at Carolina by a knockout, that's 9-1 right now if you're looking at some long odds on that and getting some value. What do you think of that? Or maybe even Carolina by points at +195.
Yeah, I think it's the +195. I just think that, like, Molly McCann is also a tough customer, a tough fighter to finish. And the fight, you know, likely will be on the feet unless, you know, she can get some takedowns there. She's never been knocked out, has McCann, only one loss via submission, and that was against an outstanding grappler in Jillian Robertson. So I think Carolina's the play, and maybe a small play on the points, you know, take her by the points.
All right, so an underdog there. And then our final fight, Ilya Topuria and Jai Herbert. You know, Herbert here, again, he's the dog, but he is the home, a little hometown flavor here. If you're looking for, see, I don't want to say that there's going to be any favoritism, but if you're looking for a little hometown cooking, maybe this on the dog here as well, as Herbert is +420 here on the money line.
Yeah, this one I don't buy it because I think Topuria is, you know, another one of those special talents, kind of similar to Paddy Pimblett, a guy. And, you know, Herbert's going to give Topuria the fight that he wants. Herbert's a stand-up fighter, a good Muay Thai kickboxer, not really well-versed in the ground. I think either someone's lights are being put out or Herbert's going to get tapped. So Topuria inside the distance, Topuria via submission, probably my two plays for that fight.
Now, how much of a height advantage or disadvantage does this this play? Because if you're going to Topuria by submission, like you mentioned, he's 5'7", Herbert's 6'1", so you'd be like, oh, no, like that's an advantage for the bigger guy. But if you're a submission expert, it's more of an advantage for the smaller guy because you've got easier access to the legs, easier access to the takedowns, and you can get the fight to the ground faster and take down the guy that is 6'1" when you're 5'7".
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some limbs for Topuria to grab, but I'll ask your handicapping question and counter with another handicapping question. So Topuria and Paddy Pimblett have been going at each other a little bit on social media. There was an altercation a couple of days ago and during fight week where Paddy Pimblett threw a bottle of hand sanitizer at Ilya Topuria. So
how dare you? First of all, how dare you?
He's not going to be well right by the English crowd, I'll tell you that.
And if you're Topuria, I mean, come on. He's just looking out for you. Paddy's just looking out for you. He wants you to stay sanitized. He wants you to make sure that no one has any issues going into this fight. He's just taking care of him. I'm on Paddy's side in that one. You can, I mean, that's just me.
I think it'd be wrong to go against anything Paddy does this week. That's I'll say. I'll
so
say
if you're looking at Topuria by submission, you're getting +125. Do you think that's the way to go?
I do. I think Herbert's a guy that, again, is going to struggle with the ground. Topuria's probably not going to want to play around with the feet too much. And, you know, we have seen Herbert get submitted before, actually, two fights ago against Hanoito Maitano. So, yeah, Topuria via submission, the fight, the play.
That is the main card. Anything on the undercard that people should look at as they're also keeping an eye on the brackets, keeping an eye on March Madness, keeping an eye on the main card, but anything early on in this undercard fight, which might start in the morning.
Yeah, it'll start at noon. Yeah, 11 a.m. Central, 12 Eastern. I do have via FatJackSports.com. I do have two plays and one opinion on the prelims. One I'll talk about here. How can I not talk about the beer Jew, Paul Craig? The dude is an animal. I love him. The Scottish Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt against the minor Nikita Krylov. Paul Craig's an underdog. I think he can win the fight. I think Krylov sometimes fights a little stupid and might look to take this fight to the ground, and that is nonsense with a guy that's as well-versed with being on the ground as Paul Craig. Paul Craig is the guy that beat Magomed Ankalaev the last second of their fight. After he was losing for 15 minutes or 14 minutes and 50 seconds, he got a triangle choke. He's the guy that broke Jamel Hill's arm. We know how good Jamel Hill is. Krylov maybe goes to the ground this fight, and that's dumb. Paul Craig via submission.
All right, so if you are keeping track at home, we'll go in reverse order. That's Topuria by submission, Carolina by points. Stay away from the Gunnar Nelson fight. Take Paddy in the under under 1.5 rounds, Arnold Allen on the money line, and then Aspinall and the under in the main event. If people go to Fat Jack Sports and want to find your picks. Obviously, you just gave out some right there. We've given out a few here. But if you go to FatJackSports.com, it's tournament time. There's tons of stuff there on FatJackSports.com. What can people find there when they sign up?
Yeah, you had winners. He had a bunch of winners yesterday. You know, he's got plays today. He'll have plays all throughout the tournament. He also has NIT plays and, you know, the CBE, whatever those other tournaments are.
CBI?
Yeah, a couple of those. And look, and you can have longer subscriptions. Like, I don't just give out the fights every week. Like, you can have a year-long worth of picks sent right to your phone for every UFC fight. And look, they're basically every weekend. If not, they take one weekend off, and then they're back at it for six consecutive. So we're looking to build off of great profits, and we're continuing to do that.
That is Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter, at Woodon1063. He's got a big Illinois game coming up that he to watch. And don't forget, these fights are early. I've made that mistake before. I've been called out on it before.
Yeah, I called you out on that. I'm like, where was the text message? And you're like, what do you mean? They haven't. Yes, they already happened.
These fights start early. The prelims start at 11 a.m. Central. So you've got basketball going on. You've got UFC fight night or fight day for us, Volkov versus Aspinall. I've been called out for not betting picks here early or during the day. I've been called out for not filling out the March Madness with Jordan. Anything else you want to call me out for while we're here?
What are you having for lunch today?
I made myself like a bagel sandwich. It's like egg cheese, so some turkey bacon.
Fine. I can respect a bagel sandwich.
I got my Alabama's, it tips off around 3:15 for me today, so I've got that game coming up against Notre Dame. A lot going on this weekend.
Oh, Alabama. Jack likes Alabama. Six?
No, they're a four-point favorite.
Given four of them. Whatever the line was, he likes them.
Yeah, well, they're playing Notre Dame. Notre Dame had that double overtime game two nights ago, and then they have to fly across the country. They don't go very deep, apparently, so they only play like seven guys. So, hopefully an easy win for Alabama. But it's Alabama. They're never easy wins. They're not very good this year. But anyway, they're a football school. That has been the Unnamed MMA Podcast. That's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at @WoodOn1063. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. We'll be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast.